出国，对吧？我觉得，
good morning. Okay, we try that again for the 8 of you that are here. Good morning. You know that this is the day the Lord has made. We didn't have to slop through water to get here or endure power outages to get here. We were able to come in on a beautiful sunny day. Lift up the name of Jesus. Amen. That's what we're here to do. And no matter how we may feel physically, this is what we're here to do. Remember that God has not given us the spirit of fear or of timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. That's what a sound mind means, self-control. We have the ability to control ourselves, but we're still mindful of the season we may be in, but that's not going to stop us from praising the name of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
It's not going to stop us from being here to do what we're called to do. Amen?
Amen.
We are here to fight. We're here to stand.
I'm
When we say to, I'm surrounded by you, it's good to know who you're surrounded by.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not surrounded by, yeah, on earth we may be surrounded by all this craziness, disease, pestilence, famine, floods, and all of the above. And then, of course, there's the kingdom of darkness that's always looking to press in on us, the body of Christ. But when you think about who we worship, he's far greater, amen? That's why we come here. That's why we read the word. So our responsive reading this morning is found in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 4 through 25 of the New Living Translation. And it reads as follows. It is not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. That is why when Christ came into the world, he said to God, you did not want animal sacrifices or sin offerings, but you have given me a body to offer. You were not pleased with burnt offerings or other offerings for sin. For God's will was for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all time. Under the old covenant, the priest stands and ministers before the altars day after day, offering the same sacrifices again and again, which can never take away sins. But our high priest offered himself to God as a single sacrifice for sins, good for all time. Then he sat down in a place of honor at God's right hand.
There he waits until his enemies made a footstool under his feet. For by the one offering he forever made praise those who are being made whole. And the Holy Spirit testifies that this is so. For he said, this is the new covenant I will make with my people on that day, says the Lord. I will put my laws in your heart, and I will write them on your mind.
Then he says, I will never again remember their sins and lawless deeds. And when sins have been forgiven, there is no need to offer any more sacrifices. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place.
And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water.
Together, let us hold firmly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works, and let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Amen. The Lord has blessed his word by giving it to us, and our reading of it, and our understanding of it, and our living and acting on it is what threatens the kingdom that's trying to press in on us. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the privilege to be able to call you, Father, to be able to come boldly to your throne of grace. You say, well, we can obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Why? Because our high priest Jesus, the most holy, the most high, the sacrificial lamb, gave himself, poured out all his blood. He has washed us and he has cleansed us and he has redeemed us so that we can access heaven at any time, any place, anywhere. But we're coming together as this group. We're obeying your word. We're coming together. We're not giving up on meeting together because you've allowed us to come back together. So we're going to take advantage of this, Lord. We're pressing our way, no matter how we feel, to come into your presence together because there is power in oneness. And when we come together in Jesus, we are one. We ask you to inhabit our praises. We ask you to hang out with us and manifest yourself in new ways, Lord, so that we can see you, we can feel you, we can know you, and we can grow strong and confident in knowing that Jesus is seated in the position of power right now. He is over right now. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords right now. There is nothing that can come against him. There is no enemy greater than him. There is no enemy who is even competing against him because he's already got the victory. We're just here to declare it today. We're here to sing about it. We're here to worship you. And we're here to live as if he is king. We thank you. We praise you. In his mighty name we pray. Everybody say amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. He's the cornerstone. He's the one that joins together everything. It's built on him, Jesus, and Jesus alone. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest rain, but wholly trust in Jesus. When darkness seems
We get to say that Christ alone is Lord of all.
Yes.
See, we know, we've seen people act like they're Lord. We've seen people act like they're king,
yes,
they're gods, and they even say they are. Somebody actually said he was the king of Israel at one time. Y'all might have missed it, but he was all sitting at home, so I was able to see it. There's only one king of Israel. There's only one king of kings and Lord of lords. There's only one Christ.
Yeah.
There are not many. There's only one. And he's the only way to the Father. He is the only means of salvation. He's the only way. So as our deacons are coming to collect from your givings, remember why you're giving. You're not just giving to the church. You're giving back to the king. Just a small portion of what he's giving you. And if you don't have it to give financially, give with your heart. Sing as we get into this old hymn with a little twist. Because if it wasn't for this, why would we be here? We'd just be having a club meeting this morning. If it wasn't for the cross. If it wasn't for Jesus being on the cross. I'm just been as
you would probably hear this word deconstruction. A lot of people are deconstructing their faith. But I've been doing some deconstruction of things that I thought I knew or that I was taught to make sure that I know what I know. It's a different deconstruction. Because my faith is not in me and what I know. My faith is in him and what he's done. So I can't tear that apart because that was his work. God decided how he would redeem us, how he would save us. And he gave us Jesus. He gave his only son for that. So my deconstruction is, how do I live and respond in light of that? That's what my faith is in. That's what our faith is in. So see, getting our sins forgiven, yes, it's a way back into relationship with God. Right standing with God. Making right what sin had done to us and does to us. Notice I said had done and does and will do. The cross satisfied all that. The cross took care of all that. I was listening this week to one of my new people I listen to, and he was pointing out how the fact that God is so holy that even the angels can't look at him. But seated at the right hand of the Father is somebody who looks just like you and me. And he looks into the face of God because he and he alone has the right. But through him, guess what? We get to as well. So we get to do something that they say the angels look curiously into our salvation. They look and go, why did God take on a body and die for them? Why did our Savior take his body and subject it to brutal, cruel torture? You have your cup. You have your wafer. You don't, please let them know. He stood in that room, that glorious Passover feast, because for them, it would, even though they celebrate Passover after that, it would take on a whole new meaning. It would be forever changed because their Pashah, their Passover lamb, stood before them and said, this is my body that is broken for you. Take and eat. And a little while later in the meeting, he lifted up a cup. He said, this is my blood, which is shed for you, for the remission of your sin. But what we didn't know is also he was declaring that the kingdom is here. Through his sacrifice of his body and his blood, the new king was taking office. So we drink in coronation of our King. And all God's people say, amen. And you may be seated. Thank you. Can see we're still working through some stuff, but we're still here to praise the Lord. Amen. We're not looking for perfection. We're looking to just be perfected in the moment. Pray for us. Don't just, if you pray for our pastor, pray for our praise team. We're missing a few people. One of them, because she every day waiting to give birth, pray for her. But the other one, you know, traveling, illness, not COVID, allergies. It's fall, y'all, almost. Pray for us. And pray as we start gathering together again to rehearse so that we can be ready. So thank Lisa for stepping in at last minute. And Marilyn for holding down that soprano section by herself. And Marissa for being up here, even though she texted me this morning and like, it's rough. Pray for us, and please pray for me.
Amen. Y'all heard that. Remember, we got to all pray for one another. So this morning, I have to say the theme is all about Jesus. It's always all about Jesus, but I can particularly see it this morning. So you just heard that song that they sang, and then we just had communion. Okay, we did what the Lord told us to do. He told us to do it in remembrance of him. And we should always remember that he shed that blood for each and every one of us and that his body was broken for each and every one of us. And I am sure that when you took your communion, that you took a minute to reflect to see if there was any unforgiveness in your heart, right? And if there was, you let that go, right? So that means you're ready for the word. We got hearts that are ready for the word. Well, Pastor has asked me to read this morning Matthew chapter 24, verses 1 through 14. Again, that's Matthew 24, verses 1 through 14. And his subject is the end of the church age, and I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. It is written, as Jesus was leaving the temple grounds, his disciples pointed out to him the various temple buildings. But he responded, do you see all these buildings? I tell you the truth. They will be completely demolished. Not one stone will be left on top of another. Later, Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives. His disciples came to him privately and said, tell us when this will all happen. What sign will signal your return and the end of the world? Jesus told them, don't let anyone mislead you, for many will come in my name claiming I am the Messiah. They will deceive many, and you will hear of wars and threats of wars, but don't panic. Yes, these things must take place, but the end won't follow immediately. Nation will go to war against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in many parts of the world. But all this is only the first of the birth pains, with more to come. Then you will be arrested, persecuted, and killed. You will be hated all over the world because you are my followers. And many will turn away from me and betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and will deceive many people. Sin will be rampant everywhere, and the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. And the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world so that all nations will hear it, and then the end will come. This is the word of the Lord. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his great word. So I think most of you know that Pastor sends me the scripture a few days in advance. Sometimes it's a lot of days in advance. Sometimes he actually sends it right after the service. But what it does is it gives me a chance to read over the message. And what I'm looking for is tongue twisters so that I can hopefully deliver it with excellence. I'm looking for words that I wouldn't be able to pronounce. So it gives me an opportunity to look them up on the internet and practice pronouncing them. But even more important than all of that, it also gives me an opportunity to kind of look at the tone a little bit. When we read scriptures like this packed with warnings and prophecy of the future, it's tempting to miss the blessings. But in anything Jesus says and everything Jesus does lies a blessing. Don't panic. Endure and be saved. In the meantime, there is work to do. And Pastor Gerald Marshall Overoff, you got Kathy to thank for that, has taken on the challenge of verse 14. He has entered into intimate and daily dialogue with the Lord. He has rolled up his sleeves and prepared a message, doing the work of the Lord by spreading the good news about the kingdom, and through the blog talk venue is able to preach throughout the whole world. Just like that word we read says. Blog talk listeners, we know you're out there. You're here with us in spirit. So please join us as we welcome Pastor O to preach this important message. Repeat this after me. And Blog Talk listeners, we want to hear you up in here. Pastor O, break it down for us.
Amen, amen. To all the Blog Talk listeners, you've been hearing my voice since 09. Amen. I blame Jesus for that. Amen. But we thank God for you. And for those of you who are sitting right here, you've been hearing my voice since 03. Amen. Yeah, that's Jesus' fault. Blame Jesus. Amen. He did. Patty, so good to see you this morning, my lifelong neighbor. Amen. Don't be asking her nothing about where we grew up, because all she's going to tell you is he was such a good little, he was just wonderful. He was just awesome. He never did nothing wrong. He was just, okay, we in church. So she probably won't tell you that. Amen. Don't even ask. Praise the Lord. I just tell you, I was awesome. Right in, I ain't never do nothing wrong. We ain't never tear up the playground. We ain't never raid nobody's trees. We ain't do none of that. Oh, wait a minute. Let's pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today and we praise your holy name. And we thank you, Father, for once again, as Pastor Tate told us, you have allowed us to come into this house and not come in here with a spirit of fear, but a sound mind and spirit of power. And we thank you, Lord, for that. Father, I thank you for this word that you have given me, and I thank you for the urgency that you put on it. And I pray, Father, I deliver it with that same urgency that you gave me. We are in those last days. We are in those last and terrible days. And I thank you for this word for your people for these days and these times. In Jesus' name, I pray, amen. 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 Repeat after me. Say, Lord, bless my ear. So they hear this word today. And please bless my heart so it receives this word today. Because I acknowledge to you my ways and thoughts. I'm not like yours, but I am here today to change that over to your will, which is pleasing, perfect, and good. In Jesus' name, amen. That right there is enough, but that ain't the word the Lord gave you. Amen. Amen. You know, we are especially, of all the people on earth, very privileged. Because if we see the crazy man walking around with the sign saying the end is near, we know he's not crazy. We know he's been established by the Lord to warn people of the earth. God's people should know. Amen? I think Luke 31 says when you see a convergence of all these things, rejoice. And why should we rejoice when turmoil is taking place all over the planet? Why? Because it doesn't concern us. Amen? We don't live here. We work here. We witness here. We teach here. We preach here. Amen? But we don't live here. Jesus went away to prepare a place for us. And Jesus has promised to come back and get us and take us to that place. So we don't live here. We work here. Once we give our lives to Christ, our lives are denied. Deny yourself and do what? Take up that cross and then what? Follow me. That's the remainder of our lives after we're saved. We know there's a tussle back and forth. The first sermon I preached when we came back into the church on August 1st was the dangers of the last days. And when you hear that, you might think, oh, bad stuff's going to be happening. Well, that's true. But what it was really talking about was how Christians can become characterized by the world. Amen? In other words, we look more like non-Christians than Christians. So we have to be circumspect. We have to examine ourselves daily to make sure that we are in the faith. We haven't gotten to a place where we're starting to say sin ain't sin and wrong ain't wrong. We're still in that place when we recognize sin. We, 1 John 1:9, confess it. God forgives us and works to cleanse us from that behavior. But we don't live in open rebellion against God. Amen. So the first sermon talked about watch out. There's a danger in the last days before Jesus comes to rapture the church. There's a danger of walking away from him and becoming more like them. So we need to watch out for that. Amen. So you need to wake up every day and check yourself before you wreck yourself. Chickity, check yourself. Somebody smell chickity. Amen. Then you're like, you're doing so good there, left. Hard left. Amen. The second sermon talked about us being a good soldier. Amen. It talked about us avoiding what can become a detriment to your Christian life. And what was that? Amen. Being overly entangled in this world's affair. Old folks simply said you're so earthly minded that you're no heavenly good. We got to watch out for that. And at the same time, we got to watch out that we don't become so heavenly minded like we're living there already. We already in heaven. Amen. People who already live in heaven, don't go here, don't go there, don't hang around those people, don't do this, don't do that. You act like you're already perfect in heaven. You're still down here on earth. Amen. But we have to make sure that whatever we get tangled up in this world, Jesus can use us to lead somebody to Christ. Jesus can use us to help somebody on the job. Joyce Myers used to do Bible classes on her job. She was helping people in Christ learn how to live for Christ in real life. Amen. So we have to be concerned and we have to watch out that we all our time is gone. All our mind is gone. And you can tell when you've gotten overly tangled up in this world. You don't do no Bible class. You don't do no home study unless you get guilty. You feel guilty and say, I need to open my Bible. I ain't talked to Jesus in a while. I ain't read my words. I need to get back. I see folks on Facebook all the time. You know, I need to get back in my words. I don't know how you live out without God's word. If you're a Christian, there's a target on you. They slapped it on you when you got saved. Slap. Amen. And then Satan like, there they go. They done flipped on me. We used to be cool, but we ain't cool no more. Now they rolling with Jesus. Amen. So we become an actual enemy of Satan. Now what he wants to do is suddenly make us become entangled in the world so much that we don't even do nothing for Jesus. We go to work every day. Don't tell nobody about Jesus. Amen. So we have to watch out that we're not so wrapped up in becoming this thing that we have in our head. Look, God gave you a gift or gift things so you can do secular things. So that gift, secular gift, gave you to make room for you. Amen? So he can put you strategically where he wants you. That ought to make you think differently about your life and about your job and about whatever it is you do every day. God is using you. He's intentional about using you. So be careful that you don't become so entangled that you have to tell Jesus, I would do that, but I'm tired. I done worked 7 days. You know, the Lord did not let me off, and I worked 7 days. I used to put in 65 hours a week and did that for 3.5 years. I recently, amen, talked to somebody who got a little bit of what that's like. It was fun, wasn't it, Christmas? Amen, 12 hours a day, 5 days a week. I used to get so mad at Ford Motor Company janitors. I used to say, I just need to bring my bed in here. I'm here more than I'm anywhere else, you know. I used to go to work in the dark and get off in the dark. Oh, that's real. That'll make you real happy. Amen. And I had crazy shifts all the time. So you have to be careful that the devil don't make you so busy that you don't have no time for Jesus. Amen. So watch out for that. And then the third sermon was, okay, we are watching out for the dangers of the last days so that we don't become characterized by this world and sin, right? Amen. But we make the divine exchange. Our life becomes his life and he lives through us. He writes that on the tables of our hearts. He writes it on our minds. That means we have to look into his word so it gets into our heart. And then once it's in our heart, it will hit our mind when it needs to. So he wants both of those working in conjunction with him. Now, the third sermon that we talked about was the provision of the soldier. Amen? Say, I'm a soldier for the Lord. Sade likes to say, I'm a soldier of love. She says she's waiting for love to come. Turn it all around. Oh, yeah, I played it at the end of the service yesterday. I'm pretty sure some people are like, he done brought the world into church. Hey, man, we on Blog Talk Radio. Ain't in no building. Hey, man. But the song, it works, right? I'm a soldier of love. And she talks about how this life can really mess you up. Amen. But if you're a soldier of love, you keep waiting for love to come. Because you know love's going to turn it around. And who is love? You waiting for the Lord to come. And he's going to what? Turn it all around. See, that gives us hope even when we're going through. Hey, Jesus is going to show up. Amen. When people started troubling me, I started praying for them because the Lord said, pray for them that despitefully use you and speak all manner of evil against you. Falsely. It's got to be falsely, though. It can't be for real, for real. It's got to be falsely. Amen. They can't be telling the truth and you just don't want to hear it. It's got to be falsely. Amen. I pray for them because I know I'm doing the Lord's work. Amen. And if I'm doing the Lord's work, you don't want me to come to Jericho. And just because you got some big old walls and I'm doing the Lord's work, your walls are going to get tore up. I don't have a problem. You can laugh at me all you want standing outside your walls. And you just think your walls are strong enough to keep me out. But if God said I can have what's on the other side of that wall, guess what, Pat? Your wall is going to get tore down. You're going to need some new bricks, some new mortar, some more stuff to put it back together. Why? Because I serve God. And this is how I fight my battles. I turn that stuff over to the Lord. Now, the things I can do, I do. But everything I can't do, I stand still and watch God work. Amen. Well, I'm going to go to the Red Sea and stand there by faith. I ain't going to move till God make me a smooth road. I ain't got a problem. The Red Sea got a problem. Amen. So we look for our provision to come from God. Why? Because he wants us to be freed up. We cannot be running around here trying to think about where I'm going to get some money. Where am I going to sleep? Where am I going to eat? That's not your problem. You didn't make yourself. Raise your hand if you created yourself and you're here. God made you. You didn't raise your hand if you said, I want to go and live on earth. No, you didn't say none of that. Somebody smacked you, you started crying, and then when you could get to understand something, they said, guess what? Your name Crystal. Guess what? You my daughter. And that's all we knew. Amen? But before Adam got here, what God did? Created the heavens and the earth. Then he made man. So God is the one who provisions us. This is what keeps us comfortable. This is what keeps us avoiding the dangers of the last days becoming too worldly. This is what keeps us a good soldier, not too entangled in this world's affair, but everything we tangled up in is because God gets the glory. Amen? And he provides for us. He is our Jehovah Jireh. On the mountain of the Lord it shall be seen. What does that mean? When you got a need, amen, and you living righteously and walking in the will of God, guess what? It's going to show up. You don't even have to worry about it. You didn't ask to come here. Naomi, when that baby come out, that baby going in, Naomi like, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hey, man, when that baby come out, it won't even know how to talk, but it'll know it needs some food to eat. It will know how to communicate with his mother through crying. Amen. The baby start crying, you give baby anything he wants. Amen. You put them in the room, put them under the cover, put them in winding blankets, and amen. Hope they go home to Jesus. But they don't. They just tear the blanket up, crawl out the bed. Amen. You see, now it's a YouTube video. Baby done tore up the blanket, climbed out the bed. Amen. See, mama come and climb right back in. Kids are two kids of them and them animals. I'm not probably on Facebook too much. But anyway, amen. So now that we have that all taken care of, we're making sure that we haven't become too lackadaisical in our Christian walk. And we avoid the dangers of the last days becoming too worldly. We make sure that we're a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So if this thing over here is trying to pull me off from serving Jesus over here, then this thing got to go. Amen. Why? Because I'm a soldier. And I talked to y'all when I was in the Navy. Trust me, if you couldn't cut it off, they'll cut it off. If you couldn't break away from it, they'll break you away from it. I told y'all 80 of us started. Only 40 of us, 87 of us started. Only 40 of us graduated. Everybody else, they couldn't take it. Amen. So you want to be a good soldier. So now that we know that we're avoiding the dangers, we're a good soldier, we avoid the stuff that would pull us away from Jesus. Amen. Now don't get it in your head, you're going to be perfect. Okay? This life journey is always learning. Don't forget that, Christian. When you hear us talking in church like, okay, I won't be perfect tomorrow. No, you're not going to be perfect. You're going to work at it. And what the work you want to do is the work Jesus doing on you. Amen? Oh, Jesus is going to work on you whether you're conscious of it or not, because Jesus said himself, I am the one who started this work in you. I am the one who's going to complete this work in you. And that work ain't going to be complete till you get to heaven, Rebecca. So it's going to be kind of here to heaven. And Ed and Rex gonna be back to heaven. Ed like, oh dude, I was hoping for breakfast. Hey, man. Okay. So now what I want to talk to you about, since we know what we're doing here till we leave here, Jesus shared with us what's gonna happen in the last days. I cannot thank Peter, I think it was Peter, James, and John, and Andrew. I think Luke, James, who came to Jesus. Matthew doesn't name who came, but Luke does. But they wanted to impress Jesus. And so they said, Lord, look at the temple complex. Look at all of these buildings and these walls and all these fixtures and all these things of God here. Isn't this wonderful? And then Jesus shocked them. Amen. Boy, did they get a revelation. Jesus told them, do you see all of these wonderful buildings and things that you want me to be impressed with? Do you see all of this? I'm telling you, and when Jesus said, I tell you the truth, or verily, verily, that means you can take it to the bank, sure enough, don't happen. Not one of these buildings will have one stone left on top of another. Cat, he said it's going to be a pile of rubble. Now, they knew, and we're reading it in the Old Testament, Zerubbabel, Ezra, Nehemiah, okay, Ezra went back and did what? Rebuilt the temple. Okay, now it wasn't the one like Solomon had, and some of the older folks said, it ain't like that one Solomon had, but we'll take it. Now, this temple that we're talking about is not that one that was built by Ezra, because that one got tore down. This is the one that's built by King Herod. Herod wanted to make the Jews like him better. So he started some of it. He was a despot of a man, but he started some great works in Jerusalem. He did some awesome stuff. He did some architecture that you wouldn't even believe at a time like that. He actually built a port that went in Caesarea that went out into the sea. He also built a place called Herodium and another place called Massa or something like that. And these were some awesome things. He built a palace on the side of the cliff that had three levels. Amen. So Herod built this temple for them. And they loved the temple. And here Jesus said, you see this temple and all the rest of these buildings? They're going to be torn down. Not one stone is going to left on top of another. Now, what amazed them, amen, and how do I know they were amazed? How do I know they were shocked? Because they didn't say another word to Jesus until they reached the Garden of Gethsemane. Until they crossed the Kidron Valley and got to the Garden of Gethsemane, then they decided to come and ask him, when will all these things happen? What will be the sign of your return? And what will signal the end of the world? That's what they wanted to know. Amen? When will this temple and all these buildings get torn down? He didn't answer that question for them. But he did answer the signs, and he did answer the end of the age. Let's say it's the end of the church age. Amen? Now, as for the question they didn't answer, I'll answer it for you. When will this temple, when will all these buildings get tore down? How many of y'all ever heard of Pompeii? Amen. That is a great Roman city that was tore up by Mount Vesuvius in AD 79. Some people say that that was revenge from the Lord for what they did, the Romans, in AD 70. In AD 62, the Jews started a revolt. Amen. The Jews started a revolt. And so this went on until about 66, 67, until 70. Amen. They were going to throw. Now, this is not Christians revolting. These are the Jews. They want to throw off the yoke of the Romans again. They had tried that once under Archelaus after Herod died. You know what happened? The Romans crucified 3,000 of them, and they took 2,000 of them and lined them up on the Roman road. So everybody coming down there could see what happens to somebody when they rebel against Rome. And now here we are in the 60s. James, Jesus' brother, has been thrown from the Temple Mount. Pastor of the Jerusalem church. He's been thrown from the Temple Mount. And so behind that, the Jews mount an insurrection, sort of like what we suffered earlier this year, right? Same thing. So the Romans sent the Roman general Titus down there, who would later become an emperor. He sent him down there to put down this insurrection. He really didn't want to tear down the temple because it had become one of the seventh wonders of the world, okay? But because Roman soldiers didn't get paid very well, and that the pillars that held the temple up were inlaid with gold, they tore it down. And to get all the gold, not one stone was left on top of another. Now, Jesus didn't tell them that that would happen in AD 70. But that's what it happened. Amen. If you get my book, it says that Jesus built. It's in there. Amen. All that stuff is in there. Plug. Shameless plug in church. But anyway, it ain't shameless. It's hope. Amen. Amen. Now, the next question was, what will be the signs of your return and the end of the church age? So after they decide, they cross the Kidron Valley, they sit down with Jesus. Imagine that. Having the opportunity to sit down with Jesus and ask him questions. You know you can do that today? You can sit down with Jesus and ask him questions. But you know what? He's going to do you like he do me. He's going to say, the answer to your question is in my word. Yeah. Amen? So I'll run to Google and ask my question, and Google will take me to where it is in the Bible. Amen? I used to be a concordance cripple. Now I'm a Google cripple. Amen? I had Google. Google is really nosy. You know that? Google is in everybody's business. Alexa, too. Alexa's real nosy. Alexa's get smart with you, too. I can't find that. I'm like, you better be glad I need this remote. Because I'll stop Alexa up, but then I can't see Prime. I can't watch my Prime. So me and Lexa, we got an uneasy relationship there. Me and Lexa, we get along real good because I can't find that. I'm like, you dumb. You ain't smart as Google. I told her, you ain't smart as Google. Google find anything, even wrong answers. Google give you a million answers. You can't find nothing. Probably because I'd be asking wrong. But anyway, so they said, what will be the signs? You know what the signs will be? Everything we see going on today. I watched this movie. It was awesome. I don't know if I watched it on Showtime, which they're trying to get me to get for free. They're crazy. But anyway, they show the same thing daily. Amen. No. You can tempt me with it, but I don't want it. After the free time over, you can take it. Amen. But I watched this awesome movie called Convergence. And I never thought about the signs of the end that way. Amen. I always thought it would be this happening over here, then that would stop, And then this would happen over here. I don't know how I misread that. I don't know how I didn't get it. But I watched the movie Convergence, and they talked about when all these things started happening at once. Amen. And I don't know if y'all watch world news, but it's stuff going on all over the world. We are not the only ones suffering with wildfires. Okay, there are people who are having wildfires, and they don't have airplanes to fly fire retardant and drop water on them. They're just burning up. And I know you saw what happened with Hurricane Ida. I watched these things when they come off the coast of Africa right around Cape Verde, and I watched them come across the start out as Invest 9 or something like that, and then have a 20 to 30% chance of becoming a hurricane. This thing went from 0 to 150 in a few days. Amen. I watched the other hurricane that hit New York earlier and the East Coast. That thing was way out in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. Took a turn. The winds got just right. Guided it right in. When I see stuff like that, I know that's the Lord. Okay? Now, he said that these things would happen. And we're seeing it today. Now, the Lord wants us to know that this is the end of the age. We are living in the last days. Now, like anybody else, like Jesus himself, do I know exactly when he's coming back to rapture us? No, I don't. But I do know this for sure by the signs that I see. He said, when you see all these things happening, know that the end is near. Know that your time to get raptured out of here is here. Now, that doesn't mean we can't get a personal rapture today, tomorrow. The personal rapture, Malachi, is when just you go. Amen. Jesus ain't got you. All us still here. Amen. A personal rapture. Malachi, why you got to get a personal rapture? Why Darius can't get the personal rapture? He's the king. Why he can't get the personal rapture? I'm the prophet. Amen. Amen. That's personal. That John 14 is a personal rapture. That means Jesus came and got you. We're all still here. Amen. So that ain't the rapture I'm talking about. But the end of the church age talks about, amen, events that'll take place. And see, the Lord says, watch as well as pray. That means we're supposed to be paying attention. We're not supposed to be afraid, saying, what are we going to do? I mean, right over in Flat Rock, they're advising people to get out. Why? In a certain area, they got marked off. Because Ford Motor Company had a leak in one of their gas tanks, and the gas got into the sewer system, and now it's causing benzene to form and just poison everybody, and it's a carcinogen that could lead to cancer. And so these people in these real nice houses in these real nice subdivisions got to get out. Why? Because you could catch cancer, you could inhale this and develop cancer, or it's flammable, and you could light the stove, and now your house is blown up. I know y'all saw what happened in New York. They wasn't expecting that. Wasn't nobody expecting that. Usually these hurricanes come, they make a whole lot of noise where they hit. They do some damage, and then it sort of peters out and just drops some tropical rain, and you move on. But this thing, there's some funny stuff. It got over Homer and just stopped. And then it turned toward New York and waited for just the right wind, and it carried it right on over there. Pennsylvania flooded out. Tornadoes popping up out the hurricane, tearing up in New Jersey. Louisiana is going to be without power, they say, for a month or more. Imagine that. How you like losing power for a day? They'll be without power. That means, and some of them don't have water. That means there's nowhere to use the restroom. There's nowhere to cook. There's nowhere to sleep. There's nowhere to eat. And you know what they're giving them for food, Dana? MREs. Lord have mercy. Jesus. If you ain't been in the military, you don't know what a meal, help me out. A meal, MR, they call it food. You know what they say, food. but it's in a little package. And you got to pour it in water. And then it becomes macaroni and cheese. Hey, real. Amen. That's powdered milk. Say real. So they have to eat, yes. In the Navy, they have the little gray packages. They didn't even make the package look, that ain't even edible. I'm going to pour this in there and now I got cornflakes. No. That ain't real. And they're passing it out like you want it. So here, I'm like, wait a minute, we ain't even in no war. I'm going down there to the cafeteria. Amen. They're going through it, y'all. And the Lord wants us to know that these are the things that he said would happen in the last days. Now, the world, they have no idea what's going on. They say it's global warming. And global warming is happening. Amen. And guess what? If we put into practice every measure that they're talking about, they wouldn't even take effect for the next 10 to 15 years. So that means what's ever gone wrong already, it's going to take 15, I think some scientists say it's 25 years for it to take effect and make a change. But nothing's going to change what we're up against now. What's happening now, global warming, I mean, California just about burned down. Usually they wait, what is it, in the fall for the Santa Ana winds to come? That's when the winds rush across the mountains out toward the sea, and that's when the fires start and start blowing embers everywhere. This has been happening all year.
Yeah.
So we're seeing strange weather all over the place. We hear of wars and rumors of war. We just come out of Afghanistan. 20 years. Wars and rumors of war. Now the Taliban has taken over, but their worst nightmare has come true. They have to govern. Now the Taliban, who hated the other government, is hated by the people who hated the other government as well. ISIS-K. So now Afghanistan is in such a horrible situation. Wars and rumors of wars. Wars and wars and plans of wars. That's what we're facing now. So he told them to watch out for these events. We know we're in a pandemic right now, right? In the Bible, it just simply says widespread disease or disease in many lands. That means a pandemic. And that's what we're in right now, a pandemic. And we don't even take this serious. We're playing with this. God has shown us, James 4:17 says, when you know what's right to do and you don't do it, that's sin for you. For me, you're crazy. You run around here playing with Delta, you are really crazy. You might as well get you a gun, put a bullet in it. No, never mind. Take that back. So don't nobody do that. Don't nobody do that. Amen. But you're taking a real chance. You're tempting God. You say, Jesus, I'm going to walk out here with no mask, no vaccination, and I'm going to be good. Really? 600,000 people probably thought that. 600,000 plus people, over 500,000 people are dead from this disease. Raise your hand if you know another disease that killed 500,000 people in our modern times. Amen. Widespread disease. And when this happens, then there becomes a famine. When we think of a famine, we think of famine as food. That's what we think, is food. No, a famine is a scarcity of anything. Anything. And because of the pandemic, we're having a scarcity of almost everything. I was just reading one of my brother's Facebook posts, Richard, this morning. He ordered something from somewhere. He said, as long as it's taken to get here, I could have gone to George and got it. Amen. Don't get nothing through the mail. If you do, don't need it real quick. So a scarcity of everything, the famines are showing up in almost everything. Amen. So the Lord says there'll be famines. Now, after he left those events, he named some certain events that would happen. Then it got personal. In the second part, in verses 9 through 14 in that chapter, it got real personal. He says, then you're going to be persecuted. Now, I know he was talking to his disciples, because they would face that in the first 100 years of Christianity. But was he only talking to them when he said, you shall be persecuted? We know that he was talking to his disciples, but we're disciples as well, aren't we? And if you study Christian history, you will find out what happened in AD 64. Imperial persecution by Rome against Christians. From the outset of the church, persecution started with the early church. So you want to know that persecution was not just for them, but it's for us as well. Amen? Even here in America, Christianity used to be the leading religion here, or, amen, belief in America. Not so much no more. Amen? We have competition now for some of everything. And Christianity is being pushed back. Amen. The church is in a real funny position. Down in Texas, they just banned abortions outright. Amen? And the church can't say nothing about it. You know why? Because we cannot be seen as supporting abortion or promoting abortion. So the devil has learned how to take us right out the game. Now, some Christians will say, but people have the right to choose. But no Christian has the right to choose abortion. Amen. Now, look, if you've ever been involved in one, don't lose it. Amen. Jesus, 1 John 1:9, and then go on about your business. Amen. So don't sit here and start killing yourself, beating yourself raggedy, because you may have been involved in that in one way or another, men and women. Women don't have babies by themselves. I know Pete Buttigieg and his husband just had twins. Sheila came and told me Pete Buttigieg and his husband had twins. I'm like, which one of them had? Amen. That's a miracle right there. Amen. Amen. So we're in a funny position. We have to take our stand. And if we do take our stand, then we get persecuted for it. I saw it on Facebook this morning. That man said, caption is, now, if you don't subscribe to a certain religion, you can't have an abortion. I'm like, really? I don't think that's what the law said. Amen. In other words, Christians are forcing people to do what Christians think they should do. Amen, by making laws that are for Christians. Amen? But the devil has put us in a funny position. We can't say anything. All we can do is pray for people to make the right choice. But the right choice is God's choice, not our choice, not what we might think, right? So persecution will start. Now, he told his disciples they're going to persecute you. They're not going to love you forever. See, when we came here to America, it was supposed to be founded by Christians. But I don't think we understand the founding fathers and what they really believed. Amen? But America was heavily Christian in the beginning, but not so much now. He says persecution is going to come, and persecution lasted against Christians until A.D. 312. When Constantine signed into law what's called the Edict of Milan, and that officially ended imperial persecutions against Christians. Now, Christians would persecute each other, but never again from that day to this one would they be persecuted just for being a Christian, okay, by the Roman Empire. But there have been places on this planet, even to this day, to be a Christian is illegal. Amen? But the Lord said, those who endure to the end will be saved. Now, if he's talking about those who hold out against the persecution, those who stand up to not becoming corrupt by the world, those who are good soldiers and not entangled in the world, amen, is that what he's talking about? No. What he is talking about is those who practice their faith. Those who live by the word of God will be able to endure these hard times. See, we get that word mixed up over in Romans chapter 10. It says, if I confess out of my mouth what I believe in my heart, I'll be saved. And we try to tell non-unsaved folks that, but Paul is writing to Roman Christians. They're already saved. What he is saying is when we practice our faith, when we live according to God's word, that enables us to endure whatever kinds of times we find ourselves in, whatever situation we find ourselves in. Paul and Silas is a great example of this. Rather than hanging their heads and going into despair and depression, what they did was looked up to the Lord and offered him praise. They practiced what they preached. I'll tell you this again, Tony Evans was going through it, lost everything. Then the church flooded out. Okay, just going through everything. And one of the members, I think it was his son, asked him, with all of this going on, how are you able to remain steady, to remain strong? You know what he said? And I loved it when he said it. I practice what I preach. I believe what I preach. Lord, have mercy. So the Lord is saying to us, in these days, in these times, if we want to endure without stress, want to endure without anxiety, want to endure without depression, guess what? The only way we're going to do that is to know what God said and do that. Amen. James put it to us like this, as I come to a close. James said, if we look into the word of God, that gives freedom. And if we look into it intently, if we look into it intently and we continue in it and we don't forget what we read so we can practice it, amen, and then once we look into it, we continue in it, we don't forget what we read, we do it. And the Lord says if we do what he said in his word, guess what? He said you will be blessed in what you do. Okay. So if you want to be blessed in what you do in these days and times, at the end of the church age, before Christ comes, the rapture of the church, if you want to be able to endure, then you're going to have to get into the word. And God has given us a word for every situation. You cannot have a situation, you cannot get into a circumstance that you cannot find the word from God. Now, guess what? The word is there, but it's up to you to read the word. It's up to you to believe the word, and it's up to you to live the word. The world needs to see Christians who are Christian today, not people who talk Christianity, but people who walk Christianity. Old folks said it like this, I'd rather see a sermon than hear one. Amen? How many times have you probably said, if you show me, I can do it? Well, the word of God shows us. Now, it's not easy in Satan's world to do what Jesus wants us to do. But Jesus did it. The apostles did it. And they were just human like us. And Jesus was in a human body just like us, subject to the same things we're subject to. He didn't come here and get no free ride. Jesus came here and he had to endure. Jesus said, the words that my Father, that I speak, they come from my Father. They're not mine. We need to do that. Jesus said, the work that I do with these hands, I'm doing this by the will of God. It's not my idea. Wherever the Father is on any given subject, on any situation, that's where I am. And finally, Jesus said, I always do those things that please my Father. Lord God, our Father, we thank you today. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word. Because whereas the world is lost and confused and don't know which way to turn, we do. We know from your word that you said, cast our cares on you, because you care for us. That means, Father, if we cast our cares on anybody or anywhere else, they can't really help us because they didn't make us, so they can't care for us. They can't provide the things we need. They don't even know the thoughts that we think. They don't know the feelings we feel. They don't know the anxieties we have, the stress. They don't know how far deep in depression we are. But you do. You can meet us right in our mess and bring us out and let us live our best life. Lord God, our Father, help us to shine in this world. You told us to be the light of the world. You said that we are. So let us be what we are. Let us be that city that is on the hill that cannot be hid. And don't let us take a bushel and put it over our life. Let us be that salt of the earth, Lord. Let us be that which preserves. Let us that be that which makes things more flavorful, more palatable. Help us, Jesus, to be a good witness for you. Help us, Lord, to always be ready to give an account of the hope of Christ that is in us. Help us, Lord, to remember how to live for you in these last days. And let us look forward to the end of the church age when Jesus, you will finally hear from your Father to come get us, to come and get your church. And Lord, we will every day wake up and look into the sky to see if we see you out there, to call us up to where you are. The dead in Christ will rise first, and then those of us, Lord, who are yet alive and remain, will be caught up together with them in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Lord, we'll keep our eyes on that day. In Jesus' name, I pray that this be the reality of everybody sitting here and everybody listening on Blog Talk Radio now and even into the future. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.
Well, I know Blog Talk Radio people, that's what it is.
Before we depart today, teachers and students that are in the house, please stand where you are. If you are a teacher, working, if you're the bus driver, if you lunch personnel, if you're the food provider, student, if you that mean if you preschool, before preschool, kindergarten, all stand. Some of you all have already started back, but the rest of you all will be going back this week, and we want to just stand together as God's people and pray for you right now. If you're all listening on Blog Talk Radio, stand where you are as well. We want to pray for you as a family of God. Pastor was talking about these are the things, you know, we can't do nothing about that stuff. We can't do nothing about the air. We can't do nothing about floods. We can't do nothing about storms. Nothing. Believe that? The worst is that we can pray about everything. Even the fires in California, pray for rain. For the flooding, pray for the recession. For the electric company, these folks says we need electricians everywhere. Pray for the situation in Flat Rock, pray. But right now we want to just take a minute and pray. We got a couple singers in the house who will be finishing up there. Last year, I said I'm going to be a bucket of tears on Tuesday as I watch a couple leave from my house and go to Celeste. But it's all good because they're finishing. But we want them to finish well and strong, amen? So let's pray together. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, we come before you and we thank you right now for each one of these who are standing, who know you, who are your children, everybody you created with a purpose, even those who are listening in our Blog Talk this morning, they have a purpose. You didn't create them just so they could be here. You created them so that they could advance your kingdom, so that they could stand and become who you created them to be to fulfill your will in this kingdom. So we pray your hands of protection. We pray wisdom. We pray against anything that could come against them that you have not allowed. And when things come against them, that they stand in you in this hour. We pray for excellence in our students. We pray for a renewed spirit in our teachers, Lord, and those who work with the children, Lord, that even in this hour, when we see all the craziness that's going on in so many places, Father, people with zip ties and running up on pins, Lord, put a hedge around our administrations and our principals and these teachers, these women and men who are in classrooms devoting their time and energy to make sure, Lord, the world says there's been a gap made, but you're the God who closes all gaps when it comes to education. You can take what they may have missed in the last year, and you can accelerate their knowledge in this year. We pray for our seniors, Lord, that they make right decisions in this hour, Lord, that they choose the path that you have called them to, Lord, and that they walk it out in excellence, especially we got a couple young men, Lord, standing here. We praise you for them. We thank you. They're young, and not only are they young, they're black men, Father. They're exceeding the example that the world has said that they're supposed to set, because they're not supposed to make it this far and make it with excellence as honor students and as athletes and as workers, Lord. So we pray for them all. We pray, again, your protection. We pray that the schools open safely and stay open. And we pray for wisdom in their parents and their family. We pray for the help that you will provide for them, that people open their hearts to accept help, and that we, your children, be the ones who lead the way. We glorify you and honor you this day in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. Praying for you. Don't forget every day to pray for them. And as the rest of you all are standing to your feet, pray for each other. Pray for each other. When you think about somebody, pray for them. Pray for Naomi and Curtis. Curtis's grandmother, the loss of his grandmother. I got three funeral visitations I have to pay this week of people I personally know, families who have lost loved ones. So pray for each other. And don't forget the people in New York, in New Jersey, in Philadelphia, in Rhode Island who are still recovering from Henri, in Louisiana and Mississippi. And then please pray for the governors of these states who have no sense. I'm just going to call it like it is. They're so absorbed in their power that they're exuding. Read in the Bible about kings who got so caught up in their power that they forgot their people. Our God has not forgotten. And he is not missed. And yes, that law in Texas, we are not for abortion, but we not for bounty hunting either.
Okay.
Read, start educating yourself about what these people, this is not of God. God does not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord, when it comes to reversing what's going on in this world. And not bounty hunting with $10,000 bounties because you allowed your cousin to come up here to visit. That's what's in that law. It's not of God. It is a creation of man. And we need to ask God, what will we do in this hour? How can we help? And again, if you want to really help, contribute money to crisis pregnancy centers. They are underfunded. For people who are so anti-abortion, we don't give to the people who are doing the work to prevent it. So let's start giving generously, sacrificially. We say all the time, God loves a cheerful giver. Well, this is what he's talking about. Your tithes and offerings, yes, but no, when somebody has a need, you give to that need. So let's start looking to where we can best supply our money. Don't send another dime to a campaign. Hear me. Don't send another guy down to a campaign for a political party. They're not for us. Send your money where you know it's going to go, where it's in the kingdom. Amen? That includes Haiti. That includes the rest of the world. And next week I present to you, I need a sponsor for a young lady who wants to go to trade school. And if you got $300, you can help her. Let's change lives the way God has called us to. Amen? Okay, I'm through preaching my sermon for today. Because we're supposed to be declaring the name of Jesus. So what kind of Jesus do you serve? Nasty, mean Jesus? Punishing Jesus? Or do you serve a Jesus who loves you so much that he gave his life for you? Do you serve a Jesus who loves you so much that he's coming back to be with you? even right now, as he's with us. Let's declare his name.
It's loving. With your heavenly grace, it's loving. Stand with us today. It's loving. With your voice and shout, oh, glory of His name. It's loving. All things of your love. It's loving. Loving every nation. Sing for glory.
Out this week. We miss you this week, Isaiah. Have a good one. Okay.
Thank you. But I ain't getting old.
No, I don't know about that. I'm staying in my lane.
What you say? Hey, me too.
Yeah, I'm staying in my lane.
Don't tell me. I've been told that. I'm like, yeah, right. Okay, that's
right.
So funny. Not me.
Shut all these off.
Thank you.